Yes. Hey, folks, welcome to the Money Flow Trading Society's podcast, Master in the Trade. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, whatever it is you think about comes about. Whatever it is you focus on grows. This is the Money Flow Playbook for the week of April 28th, 2024. Let's get into it.
Both their companies leave the rest of tech in the dust this year. After NVIDIA, Meta is the best performing megacap stock of the last 12 months by a long shot, even as the rest of tech and social media stocks in particular lag. So how did he do it? Well, one, he got fit, dubbing 2023 the year of efficiency.
That was an incredible call, incredible turnaround in terms of management. You don't see companies at this scale with that agility. And what we heard last night was a significant change, and I think it's really important to understand that Mark said this isn't one and done.
He cut headcount, and he went against Silicon Valley's traditionally softer culture.
They have a hiring freeze on in the company. I think this is not only great for Meta, but it's really leadership for all of Silicon Valley and all of technology.
All right, Money Flow gang, let's get in to the whiteboard. I hope you did your homework as of this recording. This is Sunday, April 28, 24 for the week. If you are on the email list, which I don't know why you wouldn't be, if you go over there and get on the Substack list, just go to GeraldPeters.info. No. Yeah, you could do that. Go to GeraldPeters.info or ThePetersReport.com and go to the bottom. You can find the link there for either one. I really like this new Substack platform. We're able to go in a little more detail, post some nice charts. It's all archived there for you. Take your time, take advantage of this. We're putting a lot of hard work into this. I hope you appreciate it and click the fucking like button. Thank you very much. That's all I'm asking. And yet lots more people read it than click the like. And I know who you are, so it's kind of pissing me off. Click the button. It's not that difficult. If you look last week, go look at the board from last week. We were adding to SoFi, okay? We took a trade in Starbucks, added to it actually, and VTR, which is the assisted living REIT. So these were some of the plays from last week. And if you look on the breakout section of my homework, which is on page 35 of thepetersreport.com, or if you got the Substack, you'll see it in there. But some of these stocks that we were adding to last week are breaking out this week. So VTR, that's a dividend play. We got UAN. This is our fertilizer play. Huge fat dividend, 20-30%. It floats. That thing's breaking out. Interesting notes on the breakout board right now. We got AT&T breaking out, and we got Verizon setting up in a stage one. So fat, juicy dividends there. Those stocks don't move much, but anytime you can catch them on a stage one, adding a few shares, do that over the rest of your life and you'll be happy. As far as in the stage three world, it's kind of the same stuff. We got the gold plays. You know, gold's just been on fire. We've got Chevron, ConocoPhillips, Exxon. So again, back to all the oil plays. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the wind, which is our seven indexes that we track. We've got the Dow Jones, the S&P, and the NASDAQ, which is the QQQ, the SPY, and the DIA. All of those have set up into a stage one as a trader. This is where I like to trade. Obviously, it may or may not break out. We don't know. But as a trader, these are, you know, the lowest points usually you can grab a trade. And I like to wait and see, you know, how to identify a stage one. You catch that anchor point. You count the bars. We want at least four, sometimes three. And then I'm looking to take a position because it gives us a position to trade against as a trader, meaning the anchor point, we will stop out there. Yeah, so as a trader, this week is set up. We got a lot of possibilities this week in the world of trading. Should be an interesting week. On SoFi, we talked about that, is the banking stock. They took out a few weeks back. They borrowed some money, banged the stock down. And, you know, and this stock is starting to sound a lot like Snapchat.
Zuck was seen as ruthless at the time. Multiple rounds of layoffs, slashing thousands of workers at a time, ultimately axing 22% of its workforce. But it worked. Quarterly revenue rose, profitability soared, and Wall Street cheered.
It's the fastest turnaround in corporate history with Zuckerberg. Yeah. You're talking about an employee number now that's around 67,000. It was 87,000 in its high.
Right.
You know, somebody's saying to me, how long does it take you to, like, you know, you buy a new house, get it together, it takes you like 9 months to feel comfortable, whatever. It's like, sure. This guy reorganized an entire company in 3 months. It's unbelievable what Zuckerberg did, and we continue to see the impact from it.
And the cherry on top? Meta issued its first ever dividend, a clear sign to investors that it was evolving into a more mature company.
It's a turnaround for the ages. I mean, the comeback kid Zuckerberg, I mean, go back a year and a half ago and now you're doing a dividend.
One that listened to Wall Street.
They are making gestures of capital discipline, of shareholder friendliness. They seem to have obviously taken to heart the criticism that they were being profligate and spending big.
Another key to Meta's recent success, Zuck's early and almost accidental embracing of generative AI, before many of his rivals even knew to start paying attention.
We were constrained on basically the infrastructure that we had to catch up to what TikTok was doing as quickly as we would have wanted to. So I basically looked at that and I was like, hey, we have to make sure that we're never in this situation again. So let's order enough GPUs to do what we need to do on Reels and ranking content and feed, but let's double that.
Which meant that in
super volatile. Speaking of Snapchat had a big 20-something percent move. It's now in fair value. We trimmed the stock, maybe give it a minute. It can run extremely overvalued, so it's not something I would close out, but I definitely took some shares off. And as far as I'm concerned, Snapchat is just a trading stock, and it's doing what it does. It'll eventually come all the way back down, and then we'll set up for a trade again.
Snap reporting first quarter results. The social media company beating Wall Street estimates for the first quarter. Also, the second quarter sales forecast topping estimates. Joining us now is Third Bridge Global Sector Lead for Technology, Media, and Telecom, Scott Kessler. Woo, Snap is volatile one, Scott. That's all I got to say. I mean, I feel like the whipsaw sort of quarter by quarter and not knowing what to expect. So why did they beat this quarter, I guess I would ask, because it has been pretty uneven here.
Yeah, I mean, it has been a roller coaster, to say the least. Look, this is a stock that was over $80 during the height of COVID in September of 2021. So even though we're seeing the stock up over 20% in after hours trading, I mean, I think it was over $16 just earlier this year. So there's been a lot of volatility, but I think most of it over the last few years has really been to the downside. What did they do right in terms of Q1? Look, it's really all been about their kind of re-architecting their advertising technology infrastructure to enable them to basically venture out and capitalize on e-commerce opportunities. So direct response advertising has been kind of the buzzword or the buzz phrase that the company has been indicating for more than a year at this point. And finally, it seems like they are largely completed with the related work. And obviously the uplift in revenues was significant, 21% growth. But when you look at what they delivered the prior quarter, or even what the expectations were for this quarter, I mean, that was a massive beat by all accounts. The question now is, of course, as we were just discussing, how sustainable is what momentum they're trying to create at this point is?
But SoFi, I'm looking forward to. SoFi is going to report earnings on Monday. We'll see how that goes. Also on Monday, it should be McDonald's, Amazon, are reporting those. No, that's Monday. I think McDonald's, Amazon, and Starbucks are going to report on Tuesday. We got CVS and Pfizer also in the MFG portfolio. Those report on Wednesday, along with a Federal Reserve meeting. So anybody day trading, if you're in the TQQ room, our day trading room, where we trade the NASDAQ and we leverage it with the TQQ, be careful. That usually starts around 11. Double check and see. It can really rock the market. Either downsize your trade or step aside. It looks like we got Apple reporting on Thursday. And on Friday, we're going to get some numbers from the Department of Labor on employment. Sometimes that can move the market. It also could influence whether the Federal Reserve is going to lower interest rates. The rally I think we saw on Friday is directly correlated to interest rates because inflation numbers came out. And as long as inflation is either staying high or continuing to climb, there's a possibility of a rate cut. So pay attention to that. I don't know, man. I don't care about a rate cut. I'm just going to, you know, trying to judge that or play that. Who knows? Just play the hand you've been given. You know, a name that's popped back up that's a dog of the Dow is J&J or Johnson & Johnson. This stock is now trading, I want to say it's about 14% undervalued. And on the dogs list, we only have, of the 10 dogs of the Dow, there's only a few undervalued. We've got Dow, D-O-W. That thing seems to always be undervalued. We have, what else we got? Verizon's undervalued. Walgreens, which has been undervalued, seems like forever. Walgreens is actually trading at a 100-year low or some shit. It's pretty bad. Walgreens is in the doghouse for real. But side note, I think it's setting up a nice bottom there. If you look at my notes on page 35 of the Peters Report, on my whiteboard, you'll see I made a note that looks like Walgreens is possibly bottoming here. I don't know. Maybe it goes lower, but man, it sure feels like it's paid enough for its sins. And so we got, what was that? Walgreens, Verizon, J&J, and Dow. And the rest of these are all either fair or trading at a premium as far as the dogs of the Dow. So Snapchat and Google join stage three trim possibilities. We saw Zim last week rock it up. I'm not trimming that. Raytheon and LMT, you know, those are the war stocks, part of the war machine. Obviously, what's going on in the Middle East, I don't see any reason to trim those stocks. I would keep those stocks. I might set the dividends on your oil stocks and your Lockheed Martins and your Raytheons. I might set those dividends to go to cash. Same with Merck, MRK. Merck has bucked the trend. We're seeing Pfizer, Gilead, Bristol Myers, just to name a few of these large cap pharmaceutical companies that are really down in the dumps, and yet Merck has really done well, and Amgen's kind of held in there. Amgen's right near its 200-day. Amgen's really been a portfolio hold of mine for a very long time. I had no interest in adding to it unless it dropped below the 200-day, and it has not. Could set up as a trade. Nice dividend play, and if, you know, it's a dog of the Dow, if you don't own any, you know, you might look at some exposure here. You know, back to what I was saying, SoFi reports Monday, we'll see. It's on a stage two breakout. I'm not going to add any. Obviously, if it gets hit on earnings, I'm just going to let it settle in. Any stock that drops more than 10% in a single day, I like to wait a few days before making any decisions. Back on the stage one list, which has been a while, is Uber. Uber hit a high of, 80, and now it's down to 60s, in the mid-60s. You know, Uber's a stage one, as is the market. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, we've seen the announcement. Meta has now put out an announcement of a dividend. So is Google. I mean, I don't think Uber will be too far behind. I know they're buying back shares, so maybe not this year, but possibility. On the growth side, you know, we've got Lyft. Lyft's back in play. I like Lyft. I like SoFi. I like ARK here. We got ARK on stage one. I like Uber. And I'm stalking Krispy Kreme. DNUT, D-N-U-T. We've been building that. McDonald's picked that up. Speaking of McDonald's, they're going to report this week. McDonald's is set up as a stage one. It's actually trading underneath its 200-day moving average. I can't remember the last time I saw a McDonald's underneath the 200-day moving average. And believe it or not, McDonald's is actually technically undervalued, according to Morningstar. A couple trades that I'm in. I'm in Roku. I have not closed it. It didn't break the anchor, even though we're down in the position. I'm still in the Apple trade using AAPX. This is a 2X leveraged ETN. Still in the Tesla trade, multiple ways, using TSLR, which is a 1.75 leveraged ETN. So these new leveraged ETN single stock funds allow us to take smaller money and leverage it. And the share price is a lot lower, making it easier to grab, you know, increments of 50, 100 shares. I trimmed Snapchat. We trimmed Google. Starbucks is on the move. That was also a B&B trade. A new trade that's still in a viable position here is AI. I'll probably put out some charts on the AI trade. That's a lot going on this week in the world of dividends. You know, if you're in the Money Flow Trading Society's podcast or Discord, we have a couple private channels inside of the Discord that you got to ask to be involved in. And that is we have a high yield channel, and then we have a channel that we're using margin to buy high yield, which is risky. And so I'm trying to make people take even that extra step to request to be in it so that you are understanding the risk involved in these funds. Big dividend week for me, looking at about $3,716 in dividends this week. And my dividends have come in at almost I'm at $94,576 on the year. You know, I've been pushing to break that six figure mark for me. As you know, I own a lot of rental property, 17 houses. So, you know, my money gets split, or I would definitely be over 100, but these new funds like the IWMY, the JEPY, the KLIP, the QQY, the SPYT, those type of funds have really helped push up the dividends. These are new. I don't know what these funds do in the future. I don't know what their black swan is, but what I've been doing is I add to them on stage ones. I take their big, fat, crazy-ass, juicy dividends. Some of them are as high as 130%. Go look at CONY, C-O-N-Y. Go look at U-L-T-Y. 100-plus percent yields, which is like 10-plus percent a month. So, man, I got to be in it. You know, does it sound too good to be true? Probably. I don't know, man, but I got to play the game. So, what I've been doing is when those guys pay me, I push those dividends to either regular stocks or any of those funds that are set up on a stage one. Also got the YYY paying this week, which is a fund of funds for closed-end funds. Got closed-end fund GLV paying this week. We've got closed-end fund CLM and CRF. That's by Cornerstone. We've got GOF. We've got Freeport MacMoran, AT&T and Verizon pay. We've got medical properties paying, MPW. The S&P 500 pays its dividend this week. We've got MO paying this week, which is Altria, the cigarette company. We've got MFA, which is on my buy list. They're going to be paying this week, and it's on a stage one. So I really love that. We can compound some couple hundred dollars in dividends right there on stage one. We got CVS Pharmacy. They report earnings on, Wednesday, and it's on a stage one buy. We got Pentitude, PNNT, and CPB. These are stocks that I cover inside of the MFG. They're all paying dividends this week. So big dividends this week for me, $3,716. Now, let me say something on that. The reason I report that's not to brag, man. There's people getting $3 million this week, okay? This game is fractal. My very first dividend was $12 and some change for the whole fucking month. And now that's $3,716 for the week. And I'm making about $7,881 in dividends a month, okay? And again, I own a lot of real estate, so a lot of my money's gone into real estate. What you're seeing and what I'm sharing is just compounding. I've been investing in the stock market now for over 20 years. And guess what's going to happen? I'm only 54. Fuck, I'll be 74 in 20 years. What happens to my dividends then? I'm 54, almost at $1 million. My dividends are $94,576. What do you think I could do? Man, that might be $500,000 a year in dividends, not counting the houses. So, you know, for me, there is no end game. This is the beautiful thing about the market. You learn this stock market, you don't need a fucking job. You need to learn the stock market. And the stock market will let you do whatever you want to do for a living if you get this game down. But you got to get serious. Stop putting in baby money. Most people pay all their bills. Let me say something. I said this other day on Instagram. The rich work for assets. Guys, the only reason I work, sell books, do this, do anything, is to get money to buy stage ones, trying to increase those dividends, or to buy properties. That's it. Oh, and I need to pay bills. But the order of operation is invest first, then pay bills. The middle class works for a comfortable life. Make their car payments, their house payments, to go on a trip, go on a vacation. They go on a trip or a vacation before they buy Bitcoin or before they build their dividends. That's the middle class. Nothing wrong with that. That's just a value choice, okay? And then the poor just work to survive. You got to choose which group you're in. Now, you can be middle class. That's cool. And, you know, put some money in. You can do all of that, okay? I'm just telling you the order of operation. And you're not going to become rich or wealthy or financially independent doing it like middle class people. But if that's not your goal, cool. I'm just showing you, trying to share with you the different way of living is possible, okay? It is.
$1 billion day. I thought search was dead. I thought ChatGPT was going to kill Google search, but apparently the market begs the difference.
Definitely hasn't yet. I mean, there's everybody worried about the future for Google, but the present always looked good. And the present looks real good for Google. I mean, it has reacceleration in terms of revenue growth. It issued a dividend. It has a big stock buyback. Sundar Pichai is taking a hard line against people making trouble inside the company, saying, no more. You guys got to get out.
Yeah, it's a job. It's a workplace. It's a job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, the narrative around Apple, around Alphabet, starting to shift. People are starting to say, this company remains strong. Those worries might come into play, but they're not happening immediately. And now we're looking at it, $2 trillion.
It truly is. I mean, if you're on the radio, folks, Alphabet, Google is up 10% right now. Just a monster move, like we said, best in almost a decade, going back, 9.5 years, best day since. It did feel to your...
It's possible, but you got to go hard. You got to want this shit. You got to want it, okay? So, Gilead is at a possible bottom right here. I called an audible on Friday and built my position. That is a B&B trade. You know, in the B&B world right now, we got Costco. That could be a trade. Johnson & Johnson, McDonald's, Pfizer, Gilead, Bristol Myers. I don't know why I wrote on there Starbucks. Let me see. I think Starbucks is past a buy zone. Let's pull that up. No, Starbucks is a stage two buy here. So Starbucks is a trade. It's currently trading $88.25. Could easily run to the 94 range. Go back and look at your chart. You'll see where it's hit the 200-day over and over, and that's the basics of the B&B trade. So this is a good week, man. We got MPW is still trading 44% below value. And even though it looks like it's run up, that stage three here to me is a stage one. Other notes we might mention is Delta. Delta's trading at a 28% premium. I've already trimmed it. We're going to let it run. I think it's way overpriced here. The other airlines are getting crushed. I do feel a little vindicated. Every time somebody would bring up an airline to me, I'd say Delta. And they go, but what do you think about Delta? What do you think about United? Delta. Why? I know people at work at Delta. I know mechanics. I know people manage. Man, I'm telling you, this is a well-run oil machine when it comes to airlines. There is no other airlines that I want to own but Delta, and that's proven right. In the world of trading, I think AI is still a play. I'm going to try to drop a video on YouTube about AI. If you're in our margined extreme yield channel, private channel inside of our Discord, I put out a video on my portfolio for that channel. You know, I run 7 different portfolios. And I'm showing I got $64,000 in this account. And the dividend yields are $38,000 because of margin. But it's how we use the margin. We're not buying stocks, guys. That'll blow you out. We're buying income. Anyway, if you're interested in that, you have to request it inside of Discord. And I'll add you to that channel. If you're scared of margin, do this in a separate account. And don't buy individual stocks on margin. Don't do it. At some point, you will lose. Unless you are a skilled trader, okay? If you're a skilled trader, do what you do. Get it done. But there is no skilled trader who's been trading less than a couple years. You might think you are, but you're not, okay? These things take time. Treat it with respect. Stocks that I'm stalking, Cube, I'd like to see that come down. I'd like to have more money in that sector of the storage. And I keep missing PSA, but Cube is one. Hanes Brands, I'd like to get some more in there, even though it's way off the bottom. Still undervalued. Intel has just been a shit show. looking for a bottom there. Pfizer continues to be a shit show, as does Gilead. I like all of those, Cube, Hanes Brands, Intel, Pfizer, and Gilead, but I want to see a stage one. That's why it says I'm stalking it, because they're not set up for a buy yet, okay? Looks good. Hey, man, I love you guys. Anything I can do for you, you can always email me, text me, DM me, however you want to get a hold of me, and I'll do anything I can to help you. I hope you have a great week. Look forward to you. I hope I see you in Discord, man. And if you're not on my email list, come on, man. Go to thepetersreport.com. Scroll to the very bottom of almost any page and click that damn link. And you'll be on there. And we're putting out a lot of great articles. I think you're going to appreciate it. I'm trying to create the Barron's Magazine of Traders. In other words, the MFG, it'll be like a magazine, but for traders. Okay? Active traders like yourself. And if you're into day trading, come join us over in the TQQ channel, you know. And hey, if you don't have money to take all the trades, don't worry about it. You don't need money to learn how to trade, okay? You need money to make money trading, but you don't need money to learn how to trade. Use paper trading, and what you're going to get is called fucking experience. And a lot of people don't have any experience. All they have is quitting, blowing out, quitting, blowing out, quitting, blowing out. I want to make you a master trader. That's what this podcast is all about. Mastering the trade. Hey, God bless you.